Wherever you may be tuning in from today, welcome. Glad to have you. Today, we're going to start out of Revelation chapter 4. Awesome chapter in Revelation. One where, starting verse 1, growing up, man, a lot of people when I was in church growing up, boy, they use this scripture like crazy out of context to try to prove a pre-tribulation rapture. So what I want you to do is absolutely get your Bible, prove everything that we're going to talk about here today, because I want you to see the glory of we don't need to be raptured out of here. Our Father's bigger than that. He's greater than that. His love is more powerful in us than to have us raptured out of here so that we can't help the world when it needs us the most. So grab your Bible and let's get started. Revelation 4:1. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard addressed me like the calling of a war trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future." So this verse, when I was a kid and I was going to the big mega church, and they were telling me all I had to do was name it and claim it. All they kept preaching to me, man, we're not going to be around for the great tribulation. We're all going to be out of here and tithe and give, and God's going to make you rich. Man, and they loved talking all these messages about how and when you got saved, you're never going to have to really endure anything but some people making fun of you. And they use verse 4:1 here, Revelation 4:1 here, and they say, see, that shows us plainly that God has taken us off this earth when the great tribulation is around, when the Antichrist is revealed, we're going to be out of here. But it doesn't claim a pre-tribulation rapture at all. All this verse shows us is that God loves us enough that when he really wants to show us something, if he needs to get us off this earth to show us, he'll do it. And you know, John, that might be an argument, and you might be able to use that argument that it showed a rapture if John was the only one who ever was taken up to heaven and shown something. 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3, Paul writes, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. And I know that this man, whether in the body or away from the body, I do not know, God knows. So Paul was shown, was taken up to heaven, and he was shown a truth. He was shown truth. And yeah, he goes on and Paul goes on and writes, he goes, and because I was shown this, and I was shown things that men aren't supposed to see, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me so that I wouldn't get too puffed up. So John wasn't the only one who got caught up to heaven. Paul was caught up to heaven. And if you want to read the Bible in the Old Testament, Enoch and Elijah, they were also caught up to heaven. You know, it says in Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him home to be with him. So Enoch, he got caught up to heaven. Elijah in 2 Kings 2:11 says, and as they went on and talked, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire parted the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So Paul was taken up to heaven. Enoch was taken up to heaven. Elijah was taken up to heaven. And so, you know, that's not, if John was the only one, then maybe you would have some sort of argument there, but John wasn't the only one. So all verse 1 is showing us is that God took John up to heaven to show him the revelation. And anything more than that is just reading in what you want to read in. So also the people claim that this verse shows us a pre-tribulation rapture teach that the church is not going to be mentioned again until chapter 20 of Revelation. But as we'll see, the church is mentioned all throughout Revelation. So this kind of false teaching shows us why we must never just take a preacher's word for anything. Never just take my word for anything. Always use the Bible to prove what we're teaching. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing the word of truth. Now, the reason that you can do that and you can accurately divide the word of truth. You can accurately understand all of God's word is because you have the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26 says that the comforter, the helper, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he'll cause you to recall, he'll remind you and bring to your remembrance everything that I've told you. So the people Berea, we talk about that. The people Berea, they were more noble than Thessalonica. Acts 17:11 says, they were entirely ready and accepted and welcomed the message concerning attainment through Christ of eternal salvation and the kingdom of God with inclination of mind and eagerness, searching and examining the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. So prove what we write, because it's really, it sounds good, doesn't it? Well, you're the child of God. He's not going to have you around during wrath. He'll get you out of here. And that's the wolves in sheep's clothing. They'll use that scripture because it tickles your ears. When the truth is so much greater, and the truth is this, when God's wrath is being poured out against the evil that comes against his creation, he's going to be greater in you than anything in this world. And he's going to use you in ways that are beyond anything you could ever ask, think, or feel through his power that is at work within you. And he'll use you to preach the gospel to every nation. And an untold, an uncountable number of people are going to be set free because of the way that he'll use you. What sounds more like God? The second, where he does that, or the first, where, I'll get you out of here and you won't have to endure it? God has always had his children right in the middle of the fight. In the last days, he's not going to take you out of it, or if we're around, he's not going to take us out of it. That's the truth. So let's kind of study what a door represents in prophecy here. A door, it can show division between God and man. For instance, the verses that teach that Jesus is standing at the door knocking, right? There's a separation there. Yet, here we see that the door is open. So what Jesus is actually telling us here in chapter 4, verse 1, is that there's no longer any separation between us, our Father, that we're right there with him. And it shows us that everything in Revelation, all of it is going to be shown to us, right? Because the door is open. Revelation 1:1, remember, Jesus' revelation is going to show us everything in its entirety. That's why the door is open. Because there's no separation between God and us, and God wants us to know everything. He's given us the Holy Spirit to teach us all things. We now have the mind of Christ. We're no longer burdened by the consequence of sin because we've been removed from the law of sin and death. So our Father, everything about the end times, he's going to make known to us. So that's the way we start off Revelation 4. The same way like the other three chapters, Jesus, he wants us to know everything. He's right there with us. He's holding everything in his hands, and he is going to let us know because he's going to use us, and we're part of his plan, and we get to be part of everything Jesus does. That's why he says, you know, everything the Father's given me, I've given to you. And now John heard a war trumpet. So a trumpet represents a loud proclamation. So in prophecies, it means that it's what Jesus is going to say is going to be loud, it's going to be clear, it's going to be bold. And like he said, the one sign of my coming is this gospel is going to be preached to every nation. So it's not going to be hidden from some people. It's going to be, God is going to, at the end times, really have a push and pour out his spirit on all men. That's why Joel prophesied, he said, you know, in the last days, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all men, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. It's because God, you know, loves us so much that he sent Jesus. And because he sent Jesus and we've become one with him, Jesus now calls us his friends. Remember John 15, 15, he says, I call you my friends because I've made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. He's not going to stop during the last days showing us things. He's going to expand showing us things during the last days. He's going to amplify using us during the last days. That's why the trumpet is loud and it's clear and the door's open. Nothing is going to be hidden. And while the world's going to be at its worst because they're going to be prideful, arrogant, and boastful, God's going to be at his most loving through us. And he's going to use us to bless those that curse us, pray for them to despitefully use us. If they ask us to walk a mile, we're going to walk two in the power of his might. And as Jesus says, you as a servant are going to be giving out food and provision to those in need. The last days are going to be perilous. And for the church, they're going to come against us like they've never come against us before. But amen, our Father is going to use us, because when we're at our weakest, he's his strongest in us. So we're going to be glorious. We're going to be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without any such thing. In John 16, 13, Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole truth, the full truth. For he will not speak his own message, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come and that will happen in the future. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, a loud trumpet, the door is wide open. This should give you great hope that, man, if we are asked to be here, or you're asked to be here during the last times, the last days, great tribulation, you're going to be used in glorious and powerful and wonderful ways. And you're not going to hold your own life, you know, you're not going to worry about dying. I guess that's the best way of saying it. You're not going to worry about dying. You're not going to, you know, you're going to cherish others' lives far above your own life. That's what the end times are really about. And Satan has got in with this message of a pre-tribulation rapture, and he's tried to steal the glory of what really is going to happen during the end times, and that is us being used in great, marvelous, miraculous, powerful ways. And I marvel. I honestly do. I marvel at how many people want to be taken off the earth if they're alive during the Great Tribulation. And I don't get that way of thinking. Because the Word teaches us that Jesus is returning for a glorious church. And the Bible teaches us that we actually grow stronger in the Lord when times are their toughest. And here's the thing. Where is the compassion for the lost? I absolutely believe it's cowardly to want to be, you know, not be here and be used by God to help mankind, especially when Jesus tells us the world's going to be at its worst. You know, we have the perfect love of Christ living in us, and that perfect love removes all fear. So, you know, we should all want to be used by God, regardless of the time we're living in. But to think that God would want to get us out of here and not use us, that's just cowardly. And I just don't understand it at all. John 17, 26, listen to what Jesus says. He says, I've made your name known to them and revealed your character in your very self, and I will continue to make you known. Where in the Bible did God get Daniel out of his persecution? Did he get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of their persecution? Did he get Jesus out of his persecution, or Paul or John? We never read Noah. You know, people say, well, you know, Noah's put in the ark. But think of Noah. He was here during the flood on a boat for over a year with a bunch of animals. You can't tell me that was a cruise line and he was having a year of joy. Think of how many people he saw had to die. So Noah, you know, he escaped the flood. But he was here during the flood. He was in the flood. The flood just didn't hold any harm him. So to think that we got to get out of here, it just goes against everything that we're shown in the Bible. And like I said, it makes not only us cowardly, but it seems to make our Father kind of cowardly that, you know, I can't really keep you protected during what's coming. And God, he's always causes us to be more than a conqueror, you know, especially when times are tough. Now, I know this is like the third time in this studies that we're going to go over these verses, but we need to get it to where we're comfortable when somebody talks about a pre-tribulation rapture, that we get really comfortable with these verses, that we're able to say it doesn't fit if these verses are true. And then First Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, which is, take notice, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep in death, but we shall all be changed, transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Okay, so the last trumpet is when the dead are raised. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and 16 says, "For this we declare to you by the Lord's own word, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no way proceed into his presence or have any advantage at all over those who have previously fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons, with the shout of an archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God, and those who have departed this life in Christ will rise first." So the last trumpet sounds, and then the dead in Christ are raised first. Then we who are living are raised up to be with him, to meet him in the clouds as we all return to the earth at the same time. So Jesus comes. He starts to come. He sounds, you know, he calls us. The dead are caught up to be right there in the, you know, like the sky with him. And then the living are caught up and we're all transformed to be like him. And then we all come right back down to the earth. Then we look in Revelation 11, 15, it says, "The seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were mighty voices in heaven shouting, 'The dominion and the sovereignty and the rule of the Lord has come into the possession and become the kingdom of our Lord of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever for all of eternity.'" So we're shown very clearly that when Jesus does return, he takes over at that last trumpet, that he takes over the physical rule of the earth. Now, Jesus is ruling everything right now spiritually, but he's coming back physically. And at that time, he's going to physically take over the control of the earth. That happens at the last trumpet. That cannot be 7 years before, because if it was, and there was a pre-tribulation rapture, that 7 years before he returns, the living get caught up, the dead would have to get caught up. And for that to happen, Jesus has to physically be here. And now let's go to Revelation 20, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Then I saw the thrones, and sitting on them were those whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentence was entrusted. I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes and beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus and for the preaching and testifying for the word of God, and had refused to pay the homage to the beast or his statue, and not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands. They lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah 1,000 years. The remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection." All right? So the first resurrection, because remember, the dead can't be raised until Jesus comes at the last trumpet. And the living can no way precede the dead. The first resurrection occurs when Jesus returns. Okay, what's really neat about Revelation 22 is Revelation 20, verse 4, is where we see that those who are raised up are those who didn't permit the seal, the Antichrist seal, to be put on them. All right, so that means that the church is here. There's another, you know, there's another proof that during the Great Tribulation, during the wrath, during the last days, the church is here, because we're not going to take the mark of the beast. And then we're raised up and we rule with Jesus. And we know it's the bride of Christ who rules with Jesus. And so this whole teaching of a pre-tribulation rapture is just another way that wolves in sheep's clothing are trying to get you to worship God and believe that there is never going to be any persecution that comes with it, when the reality is the persecution in Christ is a great thing. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men revile you. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake." And these false prophets, man, who are trying to get your money most of the time or grow their church by telling you, you know, lies, they're robbing what the true glory of Christ is, and that is, the less of the world that we have, the greater Christ is in us, and the more abundant life that we really will enjoy. We only made it through one verse today, but that's all right. I don't care how long these podcasts take to do this study in Revelation. We're going to do really in-depth studies, because I really want you to see the glory of what our Father is going to do through us in the last days. And I know so much have been lies, where people have, you know, misguided and been shown errors, and really have taken away the glory of what our Father will do through us during the last days. So, thanks for tuning in. It was a great study. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it helps you. And please join in again. I really appreciate it.